And then look at the next part of verse 24. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. And this demon quotes the most often repeated title of God in the book of Isaiah. He says, you are the Holy One of God. Now, just for a second, I'll explain it to you. Let's look back in the book of Isaiah. Start in Isaiah 10 and verse 17. This shows that demons know a lot of the Bible. The devil knows a lot of the Bible. Look at Isaiah. We were there this morning. Chapter 10 in verse 17. And I'm going to show you many of these little titles that point to who this demon said that Jesus was. Isaiah 10, and I'll just show you five or six in Isaiah. It's 30 times repeated. So the light of Israel, Isaiah 10:17, will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. Now, if you have a modern translation of the Bible, Holy One is capitalized because this is a divine title. The next one is in verse 20, same chapter. And it will come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. In truth, see, the Lord is the Holy One of Israel. That's one of the great, great, majestic titles. Now look at chapter 17 of Isaiah, verse 7. And by the way, if you're looking, if you're reading through the whole Bible, as I told you before, one of the great studies is to actually take a marker and mark all these titles and names and ascriptions of the Lord. You'll use up more than one marker pen, but you will find one of the richest studies that there is in the Bible is studying the name, which is above every name. And this Holy One you would find 30 times in this book. But in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 7, it says, in that day... And this is speaking of this is called the little apocalypse of Isaiah. From 13 on, talks about future events and judgment and tribulation scenes are talked about. But look at verse 7. In that day, a man will look to his Maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Now, one of the main ways that the Hebrew mind communicated was in a form called parallelism. And what they do is they put two things that are parallel side by side to enhance and to explain and to amplify the meaning. And so in this construction, if you look at verse 17, it says, well, man will look to his what? Maker. Who is his Maker? The parallel term is, at the end of verse 7, the Holy One of Israel. So the Holy One of Israel is your Maker, and your Maker is the Holy One of Israel. And so what it's saying is the Maker of all, the Creator, is the Holy One of Israel, and that demon walked in that synagogue and looked up at the front and saw its Creator. And it just started screaming. It says, you're the Holy One of Israel. Okay, another one that, and they get very excited. Look at chapter 29 of Isaiah. And that's why if you don't get excited about studying the Gospels and study the Old Testament and find the names of God, Isaiah 29 and verse 19. If you're a Bible marker, you should have verse 13 marked of chapter 29. These people draw near me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me. Their fear toward me is taught by commandment of men. That's a danger. I hope that you can never sit here and sing songs with us and have your mind off in you know, back home at your job or forward at your next event, because that's what he's talking about. It's talking about people that can say all the right words, but their heart is, you know, somewhere else. And that, God said, is unacceptable worship. But especially in 29, verse 19, it says this. It says, the humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice, here it is, in the Holy One of Israel. So again, the parallelism, the Lord is the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 23 again. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. And hallowed be thy name, you know, from the disciples' prayer, the Holy One of Jacob, which is interesting. Jacob is the bad guy, right? Israel is his new name, but God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He identifies with failures and with sinners and with those who lapsed and everything else they did. And he's the God that gives a second chance. But notice that the name, the Holy One, and the God of Israel are all parallel, and that's who this demon's talking about. Now, just real quickly, one more. Chapter 48 of Isaiah and verse 17. This is one of my more favorite uses of the Holy One. 48:17, and I will read on through to 18 and then to 22. It says in Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord, there's one name of God, your Redeemer, another name of God, the Holy One of Israel, there's that 30-time most repeated name of God in, or title of God in the book of Isaiah. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Verse 18. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. The metaphor there is the flowing. You know, a river is not like a lake. A lake, you keep draining the water out like Mono Lake in California and it goes dry. A river keeps flowing. And he says, your peace, verse 18, if you will yield to your Redeemer, verse 17, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord your God, your peace would have been like a river. There would be a river of peace in your life, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. What does the waves of the sea do? You go out there and you tear up the beach and mess it all up, and when we go to the east, the kids just dig holes and everything. Next morning we come, it's perfectly level and flat and all fresh again. That's what the waves of God's righteousness. He comes in, we are failures. He comes and cleanses us and washes us and makes us brand new, whiter than snow. And then we fail him again and he says, oh, my grace is greater than all your sin. And you see the picture. If we'll but yield to him, to the Holy One of Israel, we will have endless peace. Doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean no problems. Just endless peace. And we'll have his endless righteousness. It doesn't mean sinlessness and it doesn't mean perfection. It means that we are forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. Well, that's who he was talking about. Look at verse 22, though, while you're there, of Isaiah 48. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. The wicked can't have peace because they won't yield to, verse 17, their Redeemer, the Holy One, and the Lord. And verse 18, they won't heed his commandments.